Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Nation. That would be the Barbecue Nation. I'm JT along with Camaro Dave, high atop the radio world in the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in beautiful downtown Portland. And we welcome all of our affiliates on the Radio Northwest Network and down in Texas. This week on the Nation, we are going to welcome Chiles Cridlin. I said it right, from Wolf's Revenge Barbecue over in Virginia. Chiles and his crew were the champions in the pork division this year at the Invitational during the Royal festivities with our friends there at KCBS. Today's music is a little from Bachman Turner Overdose, as I used to love to call them when I was a rock and roll DJ. And we'll have some more surprises coming up. But first, I want to get to talking to Chiles from Wolf's Revenge Barbecue. Welcome to the show, buddy.
Jeff, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So before we get into all the particulars that we usually cover in this show, are you still walking on cloud nine?
No. That button was reset. We've had a few competitions since then, and we've got a lot more work to do between now and the end of the season. We want to hold on to some of the gains that we made earlier on in the year, and I can tell you the other teams are getting better. So we've got our hands full.
Well, you know, good competition is like that. Nobody ever sleeps, so to speak. And I know in the barbecue competitions, very few people sleep, as a matter of fact. So
those drum guys, they get to sleep all night. And I got to figure out why I'm cooking on something other than a drum. I'd love to wake up at 6:30 and then nail it like they do.
You'll figure it out. I have faith in you. So let's kind of start at the beginning, Chiles. How did you get started in barbecue? I mean, did your folks do it when you were a kid? Is it something you learned from your dad, or is it something you just picked up one day and said, I'm going to do this?
I had been a Brunswick stew cook, formal apprentice, and been cooking for churches and charities since I was in my early 20s. So I had the background of cooking for crowds, and I loved to cook, but never ventured outside of my big stew pots. Until about 2005, 2006, I was asked to host my college alumni party. And I went to rent a cooker because they wanted barbecue. And wouldn't you know it, but the guy that was running the cooker from, he looked at me and he told me, he said, I didn't know what I was doing, that I'd mess something up, I'd hurt myself, or I'd kill somebody. And that really lit a fire underneath me. And about the same time, my Brunswick stew cooking, I was invited up to the Madison Square Park for something called the Big Apple Barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
And they put me in my little stew pot right in between some guy named Mike Mills and some guy named Chris Lilly. I didn't know who they were at the time. But, you know, they come over and look at my stew pot, and I go over there and look at their pits. Before you knew it, I made two really good barbecue acquaintances, and the fire was lit. The next year I went back up to the Big Apple Barbecue. Mike Mills had a pit that he was testing out. It was the CTO of his design. After he tested it out and did a demo for the crowd, I came over there and I nudged him. I said, Mike, you don't want to take that thing back to where you live in Illinois. He said, no, I don't. He had two of his guys pick it up and put it on the back of my stew trailer.
Well, there you go.
I was just absolutely thrilled. I got an invoice from Old Hickory 2 weeks later. That's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was still thrilled to absolutely have it. And between that and the Lang that I had purchased, I was off and running.
Yeah, we had Ben Lang on the show not long ago. He's quite the character. I like Ben a lot.
He makes some great pits. I got to cook on one this morning for the Cub Scouts, or, you know, adjusted anyway a little bit for somebody. So I see them around. They're very popular.
Well, we're going to talk about your stew in the next segment, because I was quite impressed, because I saw pictures of the stew pots and stuff last night when I was working on the show, and I thought that was pretty cool. It looked like something I would do. You know, My brother once accused me of saying, don't you ever do anything simply? And I was like, no, you know, if I could do it simply, I would, but my brain doesn't work that way. So,
That's okay. My friends accuse me of being 5 times more complicated. If I could tell you the number of times I've heard that being said.
Absolutely. Hey, do you remember, Charles, what the first thing was you ever truly barbecued on your own?
No, the very first thing would have been a practice cook. And I can tell you, so at that time, you know, I was having friends and family over. I was probably cooking at the Lang at that point because I bought the Lang first. When that gentleman refused to let me rent his pit. I've since then gone back and apologized to those guys. There were times where I would make ribs. I've been accused when I went through the learning curve that I think everybody does, thinking that more smoke is better.
Yep.
I'll tell you, you know, I have made some ribs that were so bad that I could not get the taste out of my mouth, creosote. Very early in my career, that was before I learned about this blue smoke and all the science that really goes in behind good barbecue. But and at that point, I didn't have a mentor that was looking over my shoulder either. And I'd have to say cooking ribs for my friends and, boy, just really making a mess out of some things in the beginning.
It takes that, though, don't you think? I mean, if you don't hack up a bunch of stuff, and I don't mean physically with a knife or an axe, but I mean, if you don't mess up some things, you really don't learn.
I will tell you that even today, even, you know, the cooks that I do at the American Royal and some of the bigger venues, Sonny's Barbecue, the biggest gains that I have made in barbecue starting way back when I first started usually comes from doing less of something versus more.
Mm-hmm.
I'll start off with something new and I'll add it in there and I've pushed it too far. I'll start backing things down and all of a sudden, you know, the taste of the meat starts shining through again. And the tenderness gets to where I want it to be. So I would say that most of my gains usually come from cutting back on something versus adding more.
I think that's probably good advice for most everybody. Go ahead. Sorry.
Especially smoke.
Yes, especially smoke. We're talking with Charles Cridlin from Wolf's Revenge Barbecue, who is the pork champion at this year's Royal. We've got a couple minutes left before we go to break, Charles. How do you do your meat selection, and where do you get your meats from?
Well, first, I am a Compart sponsored team. When I say that, I worked with Jim, and I absolutely loved his ribs. Earlier in Sonny's this year, we got a perfect 999. That was my goal for this year, by the way, to get a 180 in ribs because we had not gotten one before. And then right out of the gate, we get a perfect at an Invitational. So I will order Compart ribs, get them from Jim's site. Sometimes I get them through a restaurant supply here locally. Mm-hmm. If I can, they're not easy to order here locally where I am on the East Coast. When it comes to the pork butts, I do like the Compart pork butts, but I've also had success with mixing in some others. I'll be honest with you, the commodity. We're right here in Smithfield's backyard. When I can find really good quality Smithfield butts that are here locally, the price makes them pretty darn tempting, and we've done well with them, as well as any of the commodities. So I'm sure. Not nearly as choosy as I am on the pork butts, although I will say that, you know, if I look at every first place that we've gotten this year, you can bet there's probably been a Compart product in there as far as my pork pulled goes.
What about, like, the brisket?
I am married to Snake River. Anella has been great to me. You know, I wish they had a program that, you know, we could tap into for hand selection. It's a big joke with Darren Worth. You know, he's always saying that he gets hand selected. But with all the guys that I talk to, you know, their customer service is awesome. You can get some pretty good deals if you wait for them to go on sale or buy them in quantity, or a double bonus if you buy them on sale at quantity when they offer you, let you double up. Makes their briskets pretty affordable.
Sure.
And, you know, same thing, Sonny's Invitational, beginning of this year, we got a 180 in brisket, same contest, and it was with Snake River.
Well, there you go. Hey, we're going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation, and we're going to come back and talk to Charles Cridlin. champion of the pork division at the Royal this year, and from Wolf's Revenge Barbecue. And remember that name, because there's a test coming up. We'll be right back on The Nation. Don't go away. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT. Dr. Dave's out polishing his car. What else is new? And we're talking with Charles Cridlin, champion of the pork division at the Royal this year. This portion of Barbecue Nation is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. From the heart of the Pacific Northwest, beef you can feel really good about serving your friends and family. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Also, if you want to email us, it's very simple. BBQ Nation, the letters BBQ and Nation, at alphamediausa.com, and you can send recipes in there. In fact, if you send us a recipe and we like it, we'll send you something from the prize drawer. Facebook, it's Barbecue Nation with JT, and want to say hi to a couple of our affiliates, KVI 570 in Seattle and KFLS down in Klamath Falls. Thanks for being with us on the show. We're talking with, like I said, with Charles Cridlin, champion of the pork division at the Royal this year, and I've got all kinds of questions for him. And we'll see. We're going to play Stump the Childs here in a minute. Childs, tell us about your process as far as getting ready for a competition. I mean, some people I've interviewed, they've said, well, you know, I start on Tuesday and at 10, and I mean, I'm serious about this. They say at 10 o'clock Tuesday, I trim my brisket. Or, and then at 3 o'clock on Wednesday, if they're using stick wood or whatever they're using, I get that ready. And it's this whole kind of process before the competition. And then other people just say, well, I kind of trim out my briskets on Friday and I get my chickens ready and I do this and I do that. And then we get in the trailer and go. So tell us about your process.
Well, you know, it starts Sunday. As soon as we wake up, I've got a trailer I've got to clean. If you ask anybody, they'll tell you that I probably have the cleanest trailer in barbecue. It's important to me. I think a clean trailer, clean pit adds to the quality and makes it so I don't slip up on the floor on anything bad, right?
Sure.
So, you know, all the mats come out of the trailer, the floor gets washed, everything gets wiped down, all the old spice bottles come inside. I've got two bus pans that I like to run through the dishwasher just to sanitize everything, and everything's ready to go back into the trailer as far as that goes on Sunday night or maybe Monday if I'm feeling a little lazy, because it depends on what's on TV. Monday... By Monday afternoon or Monday evening, I've got all my spices ready to go. Sometimes I'll make those ahead of time. When I say make spices, I'm talking about, you know, I'm a barbecue superstore sponsored team. I use a lot of their products, but I blend them. I found that, you know, not that there's absolutely nothing wrong with the stuff they have, like the executioner out of the bottle, but I want to be a little bit different. If I end up on the same table as somebody else, I want the judges to say, hey, that's different. I haven't had that flavor quite like that before, or at least differentiation.
Sure.
So Monday night, I want to make sure that...
You make it different. That's what you're going to say.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. I want to be different.
Okay.
You know, real quick sidebar. I had a conversation. I was helping Tuffy Stone, because he lives here in Richmond, helping him load his trailer one time, and I was really struggling with my chicken recipe. And he goes, Charles, he goes, you know, why don't you just use the recipe that I taught you in class? It's what I did, you know, when I got a first place at the Royal. And I looked at him, I said, because Tuffy, one day I want to teach classes, and I don't want to be teaching Tuffy's recipes. And he looked at me, and he said, well, there you go. And so, you know, I've learned a lot, had a lot of great influences, but I've also learned that, you know, I want to march to the beat of my own drum for that reason. You know, I don't want to have the same flavor profile as everybody else on the table. That's important to me.
Let me interrupt you for a second, Charles. How do you know when you've got one that you think will work? Is it your palate, your taste buds that says this is the one I want, or do you, your crew, do you do a consensus, or some civilians walking by and you say taste that and they go, oh man, that's great, or however they phrase it? How do you make that final determination on this is what I'm using as far as rubs and that combination.
I was really, or I am really fortunate that I've got a couple master judges that live within a few miles from me. So for a while, probably last year and the year before, you know, I was doing a practice cook when I every weekend that I was not competing.
Sure.
And I'd invite them over, and I would actually make boxes and try to stick with the turn-in times because it was a, and I was doing it by myself. It was a practice for me as much as it is to give them something to chew on and hopefully get some really good, honest feedback. These days, my flavor profiles have settled back to, you know, some of the influences that I've had. You know, let's say, for example, that I went to the Gateway class and I learned some new rubs that I, you know, really liked and hadn't tried it before. And I liked what I had, too. So I'd start marrying the two together and come up with something that I think was better, you know, than each one on their own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something, a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And if I ever do a teacher class, I think the students will sit there and see that, oh, yeah, I can see where you got your influences from Donnie Bray or Johnny Trigg. Or it goes as far back as Myron Mixon when I took his class probably back in 2012. There are some things that I do still today in my program that came from Myron's class because they work for me and they still produce results.
Right. Who all's on your team? I mean, you can't do all this by yourself.
No. So Randy Grigg is my co-pit master, co-pilot. He does 90% of the driving. I usually stay up pretty late on Thursday night. I've got a day job, you know, making sure that the federal government's happy with the work I'm turning out. So I make sure that, well, let's just say Thursdays are really busy between keeping track of my day job and getting the injections together and packing the trailer.
Right.
So Randy will drive on Friday mornings when we leave. Randy does all the driving. He's got an incredible palate himself. He makes some of our, like we have an au jus, what I call a slicing sauce. On Saturday morning, the first thing he does is wakes up and makes a fresh batch of a slicing sauce. And, you know, if you've ever seen how they do in an operating room, and when we're building boxes, if I reach my hand out, he knows exactly what I need. It's in my hand, and we just work really well together. So it's Randy Grigg. He and I have been friends for like 25, 30 years almost.
Sure.
Then we've got Barry and his wife, Deborah. Barry, they belong to the oldest cooking club. I mean, it goes back to England. They're flavor fanatics, and they love experimenting and trying things new. I'll tell you, the neatest thing about cooking with them is that they introduce so many techniques. You know, we've tried sous-viding for things for some of the ancillaries and different dessert techniques when we tried our hands at the anything but. So he brings a lot to the table. What we found, though, is in doing this is that as great as this, I mean, you can have truffles and you can have this and truffle oil and all these other things. Judges aren't looking for that. Well, we found that the more simple that we can keep our recipe and the more basic we can keep the flavors, the better our scores tend to be.
Yeah.
It's about execution. It's about nailing that tenderness. Or if it's a dessert, making it so it's nice and balanced. And we're still learning that. That's probably going to be, you'll see us over the next few years, we're going to be participating in more ancillaries as time permits and stretching our skill set.
There you go. We're going to take a break here. Barbecue Nation, that's what you're listening to. And we're talking with Chiles Cridlin from Wolf's Revenge. And we're going to be right back, right here on the Radio Northwest Network and Barbecue Nation. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT. Dr. Dave's doing what Dr. Dave does do. When he does do stuff, he's doing it right now. Anyway, this portion is, again, brought to you by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends from right here in the heart of the Pacific Northwest. And also my friends down at Barclays in Woodburn, they've still got that Dan Electro 12-string guitar. I love that thing. I've been down there and played it a couple times. Check them out online at barclays.com. If you're any type of musician, you know, maybe Chiles will buy that so he could, you know, while he's waiting for things to cook and smoke down, he can play the 12-string. Anyway, we're going to do that. I'm going to tell you, SoundCloud, Barbecue Nation with JT. Find that. You can find all the podcast versions. Also find it on iTunes and almost every platform out there. We're there with the podcast version of this. And last thing, Barbecue Nation, that's BBQ Nation at alphamediausa.com. Okay, I got all that in now. And we were talking with Childs about his team. How nervous do you get? Do you still get nervous before a competition?
Sure, I do. Absolutely. Every competition counts. It'd be easy if there was, you know, look, there's a lot of really good teams out here on the East Coast, and I've always got to stay on top of everything. You know, do I have the best meats that I could possibly bring to a contest? Did I measure everything just right when I put all my sauces and everything together? Then you got the other components that go to it. You know, just we've got a 40-foot trailer, and it's excessive for a lot of the competitions that we do. It's great for things like the Royal and when we have to travel distances to Florida or something like that. But just being able to back into a spot and make sure that we've got adequate power and, you know, access to water, all that stuff goes into making sure that I've got the right attitude going on once we start our preparation process. You know, I'm a nervous wreck up until we're parked, got water, got power, and I can start getting into my zone, which happens 3 o'clock every Friday on a competition. That's when our timeline gets rolling.
So when do you get to break open the Yeti or the Coleman cooler with some adult beverages and kind of breathe a sigh of relief?
Randy's got a rule that I'm not allowed to have any adult beverages until after I'm done playing with knives. That's usually about 9 o'clock on Friday night.
That's kind of reasonable, really. I mean, you know, sharp objects and, good solid steel and into inanimate objects that are squishy, that doesn't work too well. Anyway, excuse me. Besides the Royal, you've won some other pretty good-sized titles, especially there on the East Coast. Want to share those with us a little bit?
Well, 2017, we were the MABA, Mid-Atlantic Barbecue Association Team of the Year. Really proud of that one. Absolutely thrilled, as a matter of fact. And we're currently number one, although I've got a couple teams that are nipping close at my heels. So I got to stay on my game to see if I can do that 2 years in a row. Not this year, but the year before, we finished reserve at Sonny's Invitational. We missed grand there by, I think it was less than a point, maybe, or maybe less than 2 points. It was a really narrow margin behind our friends at Cajun Blaze. They weren't our friends then. We had never even heard of them before up until that. But, you know, we set our trophies down side by side, and we shared a lot of adult beverages that night because we just had a great old time. And I'll tell you, there's also Brad DuPont down there from Coach On 225. Those Louisiana boys are a lot of fun. And I even got them shipping me boudin on a regular basis. Can you believe that?
Yeah, that's not fair. That's not fair. It's fun and it's good, but it's not fair. They got to ship me some. So I'm going to ask you, here's a technical question for you, Childs. Between the victory at Sonny's in 2017 and what you turned in at the Royal this year, what was the difference? What changed, if anything?
Barbecue Superstore's got a new sauce that came out called Judgment Day. I'll be upfront and tell you that I do mix it with some other secret sauces.
Mm-hmm.
But, there's a flavor in there that has done really well for us. We've had the best pork year this year than we probably have ever had. So I will attribute that, one part of that, to the sauce. The second thing I will attribute that to is that I went with Tuffy Stone. I was honored to be one of his guest helpers or dishwashers at the Memphis in May this year. And, I got the night shift. Myself and my buddy Chad were running the pits at night, and the shoulders started coming off in the morning. And remember when Tuffy got there and we started going in, I was using a temperature probe and I was probing it, and they hit the number that we were looking for. And Tuffy looked at me and he said, "Do you think they're done?" And I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, let's see." So he pulled them open and he showed me where to push on those pork shoulders and what to look for when they push back, and made all the difference in the world. You know, when I saw what he was looking for when he was looking for doneness, when I tell you that 5 minutes probably made, when it comes to cooking pork, made a huge difference in what I perceived as the proper doneness for something to turn into a judge.
Was he using it kind of like a steak test where you'd push your index finger down on a steak? Some people do that and say like that, but he was doing it on the butt somewhere?
On a shoulder.
On a shoulder, yes.
It's exactly like that. You know, when you know, of course, he was getting more technical, talking about the amount of fat that was in there and what you could expect and where he likes to look. There's a reason why he's won, what, 7 world championships or something like that.
And, right.
You know, I tell people that I want to get a T-shirt made up that, yes, I'm from Richmond, and yes, I know Tuffy Stone, because I definitely live, you know, he's not a big guy, but I definitely live in his shadow. He's been, you know, really good at, you know, he doesn't intend to be teaching me things, I don't think, you know, but just by watching him work and helping him out and volunteering, you know, I'll run his pits for him when he's teaching classes, and every single time I learn something new.
Well, that's terrific. So I'm skipping around a little bit, but I'm doing it for a purpose, which sometimes evades me. But when we've talked about your seasoning, your rubs, and what you do, but on your injections, do you create whatever you put in, whether it's, you know, pineapple juice or pine tar? I don't know, but whatever it is, do you make that concoction, or is it something you buy off the shelf too?
I've got my own blend that I use, but we've been really happy with the results we've been getting from Sweet Smoke Q. And I can tell you that went into our injection for our 180 there at the American Royal. Talked to Jim Elser after that because I called him about something else. Oh, yeah, I called him because he whooped up on us on the ancillaries, and I wanted to know what he fixed, and he was kind enough to share that with me. So then we started talking about injections, and, not just with our butts, but also in our ribs too. You know, I think that if you're going to be cooking Compart and they're not the Smithfield Extra Tenders, Smithfield Extra Tenders is a great product and Pitmasters do really well with them. And you've got to do something to introduce more moisture and flavor. So Sweet Smoke Q along with a fruit juice or a fruit juice or two goes a long way in making your product to give it that flavor that and the tenderness that we're looking for.
There you go. Now, here's everybody listening out there. I'm not going to give you any more tips here, but here's we do a little contest every week, okay, Charles?
And, all right.
And you're actually part of the answer. So if you want to win a gift certificate to the National Barbecue News, you need to send me an email at BBQNation, that's BBQNation at alphamediausa.com. That's all one long word. And answer the following question. What is the name of Childs's barbecue team? What is the name of Childs's barbecue team? I said it about 4 times at the beginning of the show. Hopefully somebody was paying attention. Send that to me at BBQNation, BBQNation at alphamediausa.com. And if I pick you, you will get in the mail, personally autographed by me, a gift certificate that Kel Phelps sent over for you, and we'll be doing that. And it's kind of a fun thing, too, because, you know, we're way up here in the Northwest, and y'all are down south, so to speak, and Virginia is still part of the South. And so some of these things, they're just kind of getting started up here. I mean, they've been having competitions and stuff for a long time. But, you know, some of the things you're talking about, the injections and this and that and the different types of smokers and things, they're just kind of making it happen up here, Charles. And so that's kind of cool that when you're talking about that. Anyway, I'm being rude to my guests, but we got to take a break, and we're going to be back and wrap up the show with Charles Cridlin, champion of the pork division at the Royal this year, and his unnamed team right after this on Barbecue Nation. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, Dr. Dave, and we have got my good new friend. What is your name anyway? Charles Cridlin from Such and Such Barbecue. You got to know that, because if you're going to send me the answer to the question and win the gift certificate over there to the National Barbecue News. We were talking off the air there for a minute, and two things. One, Childs is going to come back at the first of the year. We're going to talk more about the preparation and at length about a couple of things we kind of glazed over a little bit, no pun intended. But two, one of the things that people listening to this show, they're listening to you, that you compete at the top level in the world in barbecue. And so some of the things you do, Childs, is not probably what you would serve your Sunday family dinner, the same style, the same seasoning and everything. You want to address that? Because, you know, if you're from a big barbecue competition family, you might go ahead and do that. But for the civilians, that might not work. So I'm going to let you tackle that.
Yep. So first, I would say that my family is big on tradition, and it doesn't matter how good my barbecue gets. We all grew up on King's Barbecue in Petersburg, Virginia. They had, you know, five or six locations, and every single holiday gathering that we have, there will be King's chopped, minced, you know, vinegar-based barbecue at the table. It's a staple. I don't get offended. I was offended at first, and then I started thinking about it and realized that, you know what, I think everybody, to a certain degree, has what they think their favorite barbecue was, and it's probably something that they grew up on. So having said that, now, you know, the ribs, I do make competition ribs. My family just goes crazy over leftovers, and the brisket as well. If I'm going to be cooking either of those, I very much follow the competition timeline, table, recipes. I might back off a little on a few things because remember that when you're in this level of barbecue, we call ourselves one bite expert. Those judges, we have one chance to get one bite on their taste buds, and we have to make sure that every single bite counts. A lot of times that means that we push the flavors as far as we can possibly do it to make sure that we can still give a judge that's got palate fatigue because they've already had, you know, 24 bites of food or whatever, mm-hmm. something that they're going to remember. Okay? So, right. You know, we push our flavors that far. But my ribs, you know, they're just good eating, comfortable ribs. I've never had anybody tell me that they're too rich. And, you know, my cousins, if I don't have them at Thanksgiving, then, you know, something's wrong. And the brisket's the same way. You know, my mom might say it's a little salty, but, you know, my dad loves salt, so, you know, he tears the brisket apart. And my cousins all like it. So that, if that answers your question, that there will always be Kings, there will always be what we grew up on. At the same time, you know, they welcome my ribs, they welcome my brisket, and you know, who's going to bring chicken out of Thanksgiving when you got a big old turkey there?
Oh, absolutely. So my question is, how big of a arm wrestling match do you get over the burnt ends at Thanksgiving and Christmas and that? If my family, yes, they'd arm wrestle you for it. So
they usually don't even make it to the table. Everybody's standing around when they come off. When I'm cooking them, I'm slicing them up before they even get plated or go in. That's what they do. They all stand around and they all pull them off and they just kind of disappear.
Yeah. It's kind of like when you cook a whole pig, you know, I used to show up with, cause I helped a guy do it for years at a lot of special events. And that's kind of where I learned to do it. But I would show up with a pair of pliers and a cold beer in my hand and just pull the cracklings off and eat that. I didn't particularly care about the meat. I would just eat the cracklings. I was kind of a hog myself, though. So
there's some good eats right there in the skin. I love it myself.
So, Childs, what's your long-range plans? What are your goals in barbecue from this point forward?
You know, I've got a 10-year plan right now, and I say that because, you know, we just bought a new trailer, and it came with a 10-year note. So I know that I want to be able to get every dollar I can with the use out of that new trailer. But anyway, with that in mind, it kind of fit in that right now I'm doing 30 to 35 competitions a year. I'd say probably in 2 or 3 years I'm going to taper that down a little bit, and I'm going to figure out which competitions are not only geographically perfect, but ones that I just really like. I taper it back a little bit, and hopefully at that point I'll be cooking a little better. And it won't take me 35 or 40 competitions to get the results I'm looking for within KCBS. We're also looking at KCBS and some of the changes that they might have, some of the new programs they've got, maybe the grilling series. I just did my first SCA this year. Actually, I did it last year. But I like the State Cook-Off Association. We're adding some new things in with that. So let's just say I'm going to hit it really hard for another 2 or 3 years, and you'll see me throttle it back a little bit. But my goal is to be cooking better, and you'll see the same results, and I'll stay on the leaderboard where I am by doing that.
There you go. Hey, Childs Crinlin, Well, I guess I'll go ahead and say it, because if they didn't catch it by now, they won't catch it at all. But Wolf's Revenge Barbecue there in Virginia, and the winner this year at the Royal, the pork, and he's a good guy, and we're going to have him back on the show. And thanks for taking your time to be with us today, Giles. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it.
No problem. Folks, we're going to get out of here. We're going to be back next week in the Turn It, Don't Burn It studio. So everybody take care. Have a great week. Enjoy the sunshine.